in. Jayo Yamuna Tiravano Chare, Jayo Kunja Bihare. Jayo Radha Madhava, Jayo Kunja Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava, Jayo Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Atman. Dukkha Shoka Bhaja Klama. Mrityu Shani Chatamashi. Mrityu Shani Chatamanashi. Rame Rajanu Adokshaje. Rame Raju Adokshaje. Nadi Vyadi Jaraglani. Dukkha Shoka Bhaja Klama. Mrityu Shani Chatam Nashi. Rame Raja Nunadokshaje. Nadi Vyadi Jaraglani. Dukkha Shoka Bhaja Klama. Mrityu Shani Chatam Nashi. Rame Rajani Adokshaje. Dukkha Shoka Bhaja Klama. Chutani Chatam Nashi. Rajana Dokshaje. Ivyani Jaraglani. Mataji. Dukkha Shoka Bhaja Klama. Mrityu Shani Chatam Nashi. Rame Rajanya Dokshaje. Nam, not. Adi Atmitka, Adi Bhautika, and Adi Daivika. Suffering. That is suffering from the body and mind, from other living entities, and from nature. Vyadi, diseases. Jara, old age. Jnani, bereavement. I'm not sure. Dukkha, grief. Shoka, lamentation. Bhaja, fear. Klama, and fatigue. Mrityu, death. Cha, also. Anichalam, of those who did not like it. Na ashit, there was not. Ramen, during the rule of Lord Dharmachandra. Rajani, because of his being the king. Adokshaje, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond of this world, who is beyond this material world. I'm sorry. Translation. When Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was the king of this world, all bodily and mental suffering, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear, and fatigue were completely absent. There was even no death for those who did not want it, purported by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. All these facilities existed because of Lord Ramachandra's presence as the king of the entire world. A similar situation could be introduced immediately, even in this age called Kali, the worst of all ages. It is said, Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. Krishna descends in this Kali Yuga in the form of His holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. If we chant offenselessly, Rama and Krishna are still present in this age. The kingdom of Rama was immensely popular and beneficial, and the spreading of this Hare Krishna movement can immediately introduce a similar situation even in this Kali Yuga. Translation one more time. This time I'm going to read number 52 as well, because today is 52 and 53. So translation of text number 52 is, O Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Bharata dynasty, during the regime of Lord Ramachandra, the forest, the rivers, the hills, and the mountains, the states, the seven islands, and the seven seas were all favorable in supplying the necessities of life for all living beings. And 53, when Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was the king of this world, all bodily mental suffering, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear, and fatigue were completely absent. There was even no death for those who did not want it. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishta Bhutta Shimate Jai Pataka Swami Iti Name Namo Acharya Padani Itai Kri Padani Gore Katata Madaya Nagar Kamatari Ne Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishta Bhutta Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Name Ne Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gore Vani Pachani Vishesha Shunyavadi Pashati Deshtari Ne Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadatara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, in the previous days we heard a lot about the journey of Lord Ramachandra, about his life, about his perfect example, how the perfect Kshatriya is supposed to behave, how the proper son supposed to behave, how the proper husband supposed to behave. And you already know this story. We heard it many, many times. So I'm just going to put a little bit focus on that. But what I want to touch upon more today is actually some amazing point that Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport of this verse. And that's that, I mean, translation of this verse again, I'm going to read because it's very, very amazing. When the Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was the king of this world, all bodily and mental suffering, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear, and fatigue were completely absent. There was even no death for those who did not want it. I mean, if you just read that for a moment, it's nice, it's very special, but if you go deeper in thinking about that kind of kingdom, without all this, all these difficulties present in life, the life will look much, much different, and we're going to live in much more happy world than we live today. Just the presence of Lord Ramachandra as the king of the kings of the planet Earth at that time brought that perfect suspiciousness that the planet Earth was basically on the same level, even higher than the higher planets where demigods live, because they don't have some kind of suffering that we have on this planet here. So it was the kingdom without old age, without disease, without pain, without any of material incompleteness that we are suffering at the moment, and even you could choose when you want to die. It's not that we just wait our moment. It could happen today, it could happen tomorrow, it could happen in 10 years, 20 or 30, we never know. That time, just because Ramachandra king was the king, you know, anybody could choose when they're going to die. So it was very special time, and it was very special circumstances. And what is most amazing for me that Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport something really, truly amazing, and something that I want to, what is very important for us, and I want us to focus today on, is that a similar situation could be introduced immediately. We're talking about today, about now. Could be introduced immediately, even in this age called Kali, the worst of all ages. It is said, Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. Krishna descends in this Kali Yuga in the form of his holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. If we chant offenselessly, means without offenses, and beneficial, and the spreading, if we chant offenselessly, Rama and Krishna will still be present in this age. Well, for me, that was the real fascination of this verse, because sometime when we read all these stories from the previous yugas, from the previous pastimes, we said, okay, that was that time. It was Satya Yuga, it was Treta Yuga, it was Dvapara Yuga. But now it's Kali Yuga, it's kind of different. So it's very hard. We don't have mystical powers, we don't have some special, many pure devotees around, we have hardly few. We don't have so many of those auspiciousnesses in the world. I mean, how many people are already eating meat in the world? How many people doing all different kind of offenses? And Kali Yuga is progressing, so it's not for us. But Srila Prabhupada said the opposite thing. If we just do one simple thing, same kind of situation can be presented, introduced immediately in our world even. And the point that he mentioned, how that can happen, it's if we chant without offenses. So this will be our today's focus. So we will discuss about effect of chanting without offenses, what will happen if we chant without offenses, and how to reach level of chanting without offenses, which is even more interesting and more important for all of us. And also we will touch a little bit upon the golden age of Kali. I'm sure many of you heard about this special 10,000 years happen, but nobody really knows, is it already started, is it starting soon? What will happen, how it will happen, who said, when and why, so we're going to touch upon that a little bit and try to see whether there is connection between what Srila Prabhupada mentioned in this verse and this special golden age of Kali. So first, Srila Prabhupada also mentioned one time when he had, there was a big occasion, it was some reporters came, some important people. They were sitting in the room, and Srila Prabhupada was in very special mood that day. Devotees who were present, they were saying, and interview were going on. And then they asked Srila Prabhupada, what will happen one day when you leave the planet? What will happen when you're not present anymore? When your, this essence means that your students, they take over the movement, how everything will continue, how everything will go on? And Srila Prabhupada was just for the second a little bit silent, and then he said clearly, well, my books are going to be present here on this planet all the time for the next 10,000 years. And this is the way how I'm going to be present. This is the free translation of what Prabhupada said, but this is the point. That actually Srila Prabhupada will be present in his books, but what is more important thing, he mentioned that 10,000 years. When he mentioned also about one time about Vedic Planetarium, about whole project of Mayapur, he also mentioned that this temple we have to build for very, very long time, for at least 10,000 years, that because, you know, it has, this is going to be the headquarter of that special age. Now, when you compare his statements with the statements where we find in another, in Padma Purana, for example, there is a very clear statement about beginning of golden age of Kali. There was discussion between Krishna was talking to Mother Ganga, and there was discussion about different... Mother Ganga was asking different questions to the Lord, and he was answering. So in his response to her questions, he was basically presenting what will happen in the Kali Yuga. So he said that first 5,000 years of Kali Yuga is going to be a lot of suffering, a lot of decreasing of the energy of the previous yugas. Everything will change basically. But then after 5,000 years, some special devotees will come, and devotional service will spread all over the world, and this process will last for 10,000 years, and that devotional service, bhakti, that he mentioned bhakti particularly there, will change the whole world. And that's actually the golden age of Kali. So I'm going to read that particular verse. This is Brahma Vaivarta Purana, and In that particular Purana, the Lord Krishna was foretold that Kali Yuga will be full of extreme hardships for people with ideals and values, and that the text that he told Mother Ganga is text number 59. Kalar Dasha Sahashani Mabhaktakshanti Bhutale Ekavarna Bhavishyanti Madabeshu Gateshu Cha. For 10,000 years of Kali, such devotees of mine will be present on earth. After the departure of my devotees, there will be only one Varna. So, it's interesting that 5,000 years of Kali Yuga already finished. It's already over. And now it's more or less beginning of 10,000 years that Krishna mentioned in this Purana. And there is also another interesting story. When in Los Angeles, one time Srila Prabhupada was having a great, amazing kirtan with devotees, and everybody started chanting and dancing, and everybody started losing the ground and jumping in the air higher and higher. And then, in one moment, Srila Prabhupada started laughing and watching in one corner there. And everybody was watching, you know, Srila Prabhupada, and he was standing like this, and even offering some prayers and laughing. And one devotee, he asked Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, what is happening?" And he's telling, "Narada Muni just came, and he's laughing so much." They're asking Srila Prabhupada, "Why Narada Muni is laughing?" And Srila Prabhupada was saying, "Because he sees all these mlechas and chanchalas dancing and chanting holy name." And then everybody started laughing. I mean, of course, we understand that we are not born all glories to those who are, that we are not born just special and came here to change the world, that we are actually here because of special mercy of Lord Krishna and Srila Prabhupada, and somehow we got that special mercy, and of course we have responsibility to share that further, but also we never should be puffed up or proud that we think that we are something special. Everything, especially what happened in our life, it just happened because of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and mercy of Lord Krishna. And this is very special. This is our speciality. We got the mercy. So the point is that somehow that mercy starts spreading around the world. And it's not that idea about spreading around the world came just from Srila Prabhupada. Actually, first, as I mentioned, Krishna said that. Lord Krishna said that to Mother Ganga. And then after that also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote that in Sanjaya Toshani. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote, "Soon there will be a time when the chanting of Krishna's name will be heard in England, France, Russia, Germany, and America." And then we should not forget, of course, Chaitanya Bhagavata, Antya Lila 4.1.26, very famous verse. Privityache jata nagati grama sarveta prachara haribe more nama. In every town and village in the world, my name will be heard. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So basically, there was many predictions of something which is happening right now. And it's very hard to ignore It's very hard to ignore the fact that actually everything is happening also and matching the prediction about the golden age of Kali. Now, there is only one difference. Some devotees, recently we had conversation about golden age of Kali, and they were saying, well, it's still not that gold. There is still a lot of suffering around, a lot of different difficulties. And Srila Prabhupada, in this particular verse today, actually, he explained something amazing, that only what is separating us from this golden age of Kali is that we have to chant holy name without offenses. And that's one very, very high level. This is not something that the very, very few devotees really are born and naturally already have that, to chant without offenses. But most of us, we have to go through the process and we have to learn how to do so. Because if that golden age, or whatever Srila Prabhupada's prediction for 10,000 years, his book's presence on this planet is starting now, and this is only like, what, 40, 50 years, we are into that. It's just beginning of beginnings. We need to learn how to spread message properly to the next generations. Basically, if we want to show them how to chant without offenses, we have to start doing that first. And we have to try our best to do so. That's why I found this point very important and very interesting for all of us, and I want to share a few findings which I got. So, first I want to touch up about effects of chanting without offenses. Before we go, how to chant without offenses, there should be some kind of motivation that we know what will happen in the case if we chant without offenses, which is very, very interesting to know. So, you all know 10 offenses of the holy name. Is there somebody who wishes to repeat that? I believe we are supposed to do every single day, repeating what are offenses of the holy name. So basically, you know, we have to be very careful to avoid those offenses while we are chanting our rounds, while we are chanting together with another devotees, and basically to accept those as effects, as a part of our life. Even when we are not chanting, we should avoid those offenses, especially, you know, especially to make offenses towards other devotees, to make Vaishnava parad. This is one of the heaviest and usually is the number one, and it's always there, you know, to protect us from there. So, Srila Prabhupada mentioned one time, if we chant offensively, if we chant without offenses, Ramay Krishna is still present in this age. They will be still present in this age. That means if we start chanting without offense, Rama and Krishna will be here. And the kingdom of Rama was immensely popular and beneficial, and the spreading of this Hare Krishna movement can immediately introduce a similar situation even in this Kali Yuga. So these 10 offenses are not just a slogan. It's stand between now and spiritual revolution that we can create in this world. And when I use this word revolution, it's not just let's do some bombastic statement. It's true. It's a fact. It's a spiritual revolution. It's something that really can change the face, and even Krishna predicted it will happen. Srila Prabhupada predicted it will happen. That means it will happen for sure. But we are the ones who are supposed to choose whether we want to be part of that or not. That's up to us to choose. So, and it's amazing, I mean, if we start chanting without offenses, we're going to be part of kingdom of Lord Ramachandra. That means no pain, no suffering, and so many other benefits are there. But the biggest benefit is actually that we start developing the pure love for Krishna. And that the higher goal, developing the pure love for the Lord, is actually something what really have to drive us further in our attempt to try to chant without offenses. So, main focus in our life, our main job, is actually to develop pure love for God. This is something what we miss. This is something what Krishna miss for us, from us. And this is something that is only, basically, our only goal in this life. So, one Srila Prabhupada disciple, Srila Prabhupada disciple Adhikari, he mentioned in one class, I heard amazing thing, that actually we should become a PhDs of pure love of God. You know, education goes to different levels, and the highest one is PhD. Well, we should practice and learn more and more, and we should go further with our Krishna consciousness, with our Krishna consciousness, until we don't reach that PhD level. It means we develop the pure love for God. So when we do that, actually, when we develop a pure love for God, I'm not saying if, because I pray and hope that all of you and all of us will reach that level in one moment. In that level, magic starts happening. We start feeling Krishna. We start seeing Krishna everywhere. Basically everything around us becomes part of Krishna. We see Krishna everywhere. And the same world is not same anymore. It's completely different. Basically, in that stage of mind, in that stage of our heart, of our consciousness, we already enter the spiritual world. So, in Bhagavad Gita 6:30, the very famous verse, it said that for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I'm never lost, nor is he ever lost for me. So basically, if we see Krishna everywhere, he sees us. I mean, he sees us anyway. He's sending us the rains of mercy, the showers of mercy all the time. Srila Prabhupada said, if we just had eyes, in one letter he mentioned, if we just had eyes to see how much mercy Lord Krishna is sending to us every single day. And he's telling, the best comparison is same like rains during monsoon season in India. And since we are here, and we know what does it mean, monsoon season here, you can understand that those kind of rains Srila Prabhupada Krishna is sending daily to us. We just need to open a little bit our heart and to accept it. And then we can develop the pure love towards him. So, in the purport of this same 6:30 Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada mentioned, an intimate relationship between the Lord and devotee then exists. In that stage, the living entity attains his immortality. Nor is the personality of Godhead ever out of the sign of the devotee. The merge in Krishna is spiritual annihilation. A devotee takes no such risk. I mean, even here we can hear that, we can see that there is the word immortality there also. Same as presentation of the kingdom of Lord Ramachandra. Basically, once we develop the pure love of Krishna, once we get that connection in Krishna, once we see the Krishna with our own eyes, we become immortal. And what does it mean? Does that mean that we're not going to leave this body or anything? No, he doesn't care anymore. Because Krishna wants us to continue that relationship forever and ever. And just his desire and his pure love towards us and our attachment to him, he doesn't allow any mortal things to enter in that relationship. And that's perfection, that's amazingness of that relationship, really. So, what are the symptoms of that? Once we come to that level, of pure chanting, once we reach the pure love towards the Lord, what is the level of our consciousness? It's mentioned in Brahma Samhita. Very interesting verse is there, that it's 5:38, by the way. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santak sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yamsham masundaram achintya guna swarupam govindamadi purusham tam maham bhajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotees whose eyes are appointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form of Shyama Sundar, situated within the heart of devotee. So that's basically the stage when we have that pulp of love inside of our eyes, when we see everywhere just Krishna. Suddenly all difficulties disappear. Suddenly everything else becomes unimportant. And only important is to make those that we love happy, to make Krishna happy. And this is that perfect stage where we really can chant the holy name without offenses, and really the whole life is changing. And then we can hope that the golden age is going to start showing on the outside, even on material level, its symptoms. So this is effect of chanting without offenses. Recently, I heard one explanation of material world. One devotee was giving class, and it was really amazing and interesting for me to hear. He was saying, and he heard that from, I don't know, from some other guru, but I could not catch up who was really that. But interesting was explanation that this material world is like a desert. And we are there, only us, lonely in the desert, walking through that desert. Around us, nothing but the sand. There is a sun all the time. And we are going around and even start hallucinating because we are losing our mind, and we touch the sand, we take it out and see, oh, there is my new house. Then we touch another part of sand, oh, my new car. And there another part of sand, all our possessions, all material possessions. Yes, they are there, but they are just illusion. Even material scientists came to that solution, that everything is just atoms and between the space. You know, and we are playing a little bit with that. But it's all part of Krishna's external energy. But in one moment, he's saying that we desire to see the Lord. And the Lord is not Fata Morgana. He's serious. He's there. He's real. When we desire that, Krishna is more than happy to approach us and to save us from that desert and to take us back where we really belong, because we have internal relationship with Him in the spiritual world. So basically our only job here is to go out of the desert, not to start enjoying the desert, because it's very hard to enjoy the desert. It's impossible. We can try again and again. Maybe for a second we feel some joy, some pleasure. Like in desert, when night comes, it's not that hot. Or when you see some nice Fata Morgana somewhere far away and you believe you're going somewhere, then you have some hope. Okay, now if I do this, and that, finally my life is going to be perfect. And then something happens again. Oh no, again. Okay, let's do this, and that, and then in 2 years my life is going to be perfect. Again something happened. This is our life. We're just trying to reach something what is not reachable. Only what is actually really reachable is the Lord Krishna. And this is where we're supposed to go towards. Now, the final point for today is how to reach a level of chanting without offenses. This is something that we all desire, something that we all want to happen in our life, right? Is there anybody here who doesn't want to reach a level to chant without offenses? Jai, I'm sure you don't want that. But so, there is explanation that we should try again and again to serve Krishna with love. And some skeptics maybe can say, okay, but we are sadhana devotees. We are practicing sadhana. There are rules and regulations. Don't be a sahajiya. Don't try to develop love. But there is the proof in the shastras also that we should not pretend that we love, but we should try to love and to give that love to Krishna again and again through our devotional service. And that's Patram Pushtam Balam Tejam. It's a very famous verse where said, you can just offer me a leaf, you can offer me a fruit, or water, or flower, with bhakti, with love. And I will accept it. So that line with love, that those two words are very important. We can offer again and again many different things, but if there is no love, it's not sure that Krishna is accepting it. And you have different kinds of love. There is not just, okay, you know, you have different kind of lila with Krishna, and we are not sure what is our lila with Lord. It's best to still keep those of respect and to be very humble and to offer our obeisances and to be very thankful and very grateful for everything what Lord Krishna present us in this life and the chance that He's giving to us, a very special chance. In the middle of Kali Yuga, we just follow the few simple things, many times mentioned, just follow the three things basically. One thing is chanting the holy name regularly, trying to chant without offenses. Second thing, following the four regulations. And the third thing is spreading the Christian, helping the preachers, Sankirtan mission. If we follow these three things, basically we can go back to spiritual world. Many sages, many yogis, they try to do that on many different ways. Many of them failed. And now we have something that can save anybody. Anybody, anywhere in the world. You don't have to go to Himalayas. You don't have to go to visit all the time holy places. You don't have to go to some cave and just practice for 80,000 years meditation and go in different levels of the... No. We can just do three simple things and we can become liberated. Not only that, we can go to the highest planet in the spiritual world, to Goloka Vrindavan. And this is such amazing opportunity that none of us should take off our mind for even for a second during the day. And we have that in the mind all the time. In that case, we're not going to make mistakes anymore. So, that cannot happen overnight, of course. Chanting without offenses is very high level. So there is explanation. This is actually what we need to go through to reach that level is a lot of practice. They say if you want to become a mridanga player, good mridanga player, or you want to learn some other skill, you need to have a good teacher, you need to have a good practice all the time, and you need to have desire to do that. Same thing is with chanting the holy name without offenses. Each one of us should have some kind of experience, somebody who mentor, like somebody who can train us or somebody who is chanting good, we can just sit next to him and learn how to chant better, you know, or somebody who can tell us, you know, how to reach that level. Second thing, we have to practice that all the time. Means we have to chant and chant and chant and chant all the time, anytime, morning time special, during day. Haridas Thakur was chanting whole day to hope that one day we're going to say one Maha Mantra without offenses. And the third thing, we cannot do that if we don't develop desire for that. Sometimes devotees come to the level where, oof, I already chanted like millions and billions of rounds, you know, and I'm already how many years in Krishna consciousness. Maybe today, I don't know, it's not necessary to chant 16, let's chant 4, 8. Anyway, it's not a big difference. I mean, it doesn't really bring so much difference in my life. But this is not true. Same like that, we never know when it will happen. Same that pure chanting, we never know when it will start really. We never know when it will start. There is a famous story that Srila Prabhupada mentioned many times about the Muslim guy, the Muslim person who entered the forest, and he was a hunter actually, but he could not catch one animal who was attacking him because it's an untouchable animal. It was a boar, a kind of like wild pig. And then when that boar start jumping on him, because wild boars are very heavy, you know, they're jumping with their horns and they're trying to catch the person, he starts screaming, Haram! 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 Because Haram means actually boar. Right? Haram means is the pig. Forbidden. I'm sorry, Mataji. Yes. Forbidden. Yes. Haram means forbidden. Means, you know, it's untouchable. Because they don't eat pigs. In the Muslim world, they don't eat pigs because they even eat stool and so many low-class things. So, you know, they don't want to touch that. They want to eat. And then he was screaming, Haram! Haram! And in that time, that pig actually catch him, and he died. He left his body. And actually, since his last words were Haram! Haram! Krishna accepted that and he got liberation. Because part of that is Ram, Ram. And what is more important thing, Prabhupada mentioned one time, that he was chanting that without offenses. Yes, he didn't even consciously chant name of Ram. But he didn't talk bad about Vaishnavas. He didn't even know Vaishnavas much. He didn't make any offense towards the demigods. He didn't make any of 10 offenses basically during that, and that's why actually he got liberation, and of course it was a special mercy of the Lord. But even on such a way, if you chant without offenses, you know, you can be liberated. What to speak about if we chant consciously, if we practice again and again to reach that level. So we have many different desires. We have desires for so many different things. Especially now with the internet, those desires are increasing and increasing more and more. It's very hard, you know, just to go there and to check Shastras and to check Dandavas.com and Mayapur.com and Mayapur TV without touching a few more links and going, okay, let me check this and that. It's very hard to do so. It's very hard to do that. I mean, Kali Yuga is progressing and is going to all different pores of our life trying to attach us, to attract us. Come, come. Look at this. Oh, wow, look at that. Or maybe you never didn't saw this. Did you saw that place? Go there. Trying all the time to trick us to go into that illusion deeper and deeper, because now we are dangerous. We are very close to the spiritual world. We are very close with this movement, with our surrendering. We are very close to the spiritual world. That Maya is going to be stronger, not weaker. Many times we have illusion, okay, now Maya is, you know, it's not that influenced. No. Influence doesn't have to be necessarily that strong if we are serious in our bhakti. But if you are not, oh, Maya is stronger than just for anybody there, because they already surrender. They don't need some extra effort of Maya. We do. That's a big difference. So the point is that Srila Prabhupada said that when we chant, we need to have one thing in our mind, that we have to qualify to become qualified to see Krishna face to face one day. That's Srila Prabhupada's formulation of proper chanting. We have to be qualified one day to see Krishna face to face. One day. And this should be our main motivation, according to Srila Prabhupada. Now, the last thing I wanted to mention, and I will conclude, is actually something that I got from a very dear friend just recently, and it was really amazing. My spiritual master is Jai Pataka Maharaj, His Holiness, and my dear friend Navinirnira Prabhu sent me maybe, I don't know, 10 days ago or something, one part of the class. You know, in the 80s, Guru Maharaj was giving, you know, very powerful classes with a lot of, you know, strong voices and sounds, and amazing energy was happening all the time. In one of those classes, he explained actually our attitude when we are chanting the holy name. How are we supposed to fix our mind during chanting? And it's definitely not possible to imitate on the proper way what he said, but it's really amazing, and I will try just beginning to say, and then we're going to do together one exercise. So Jai Pataka Maharaj was saying, when we are chanting the holy name, we should cry for Krishna. And if we don't cry for Krishna, we should cry because we don't cry for Krishna. And we don't cry because we don't cry for Krishna. We should start crying because we don't cry because we don't cry for Krishna. And if we don't cry because we don't cry because we don't cry for Krishna, we should start crying. And he was going like that for, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes. He came up to a very big number of crying word inside. But it was amazing, you know, the energy was building and building and building up. And one moment you figure out, what does it mean, that word crying, inside of his statement? It's not we have to sit and chant and watching who is in the temple and checking left and right and thinking what I supposed to do today and then take rest a little bit. No. We should cry for Krishna. We should cry to reach that level of pure love towards Lord. This is only way how we can come back. Only way to get a special mercy. I want to invite you, all of us, to try, just few Maha Mantras, to try, without offenses, to try to cry, and to see what will happen. Please raise up your hands. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Holy Name ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna. If there is any comment, any question, we still have 5-6 minutes and then we have to conclude. Yes, Mataji, please. Anybody can, yeah.
Thank you for a wonderful class. Very inspiring. And
it was inspiring verse. It was really inspiring. Srila Prabhupada's comment also.
It made me think of two things, like when you're talking about how the offenses and how we're separated from, you know, pure consciousness, that even when Krishna was on the planet, I was just reading this recently.
Yes.
That most people did not recognize him as Krishna.
Yeah.
They just thought he was another person, so that is the same now, unless we're really chanting purely. And then just this morning, I read a conversation where Srila Prabhupada was talking with Vishujan, and he mentioned San Francisco. And it was funny, I hear San Francisco all the time, but I never really thought of how San means saint, and it's actually named after Saint Francis.
Yeah.
So Prabhupada was mentioning that, and then Vishujan was saying how if someone is single-eyed, you know, then he can understand God. And Prabhupada was like, what? What do you mean? What are you talking about? Single-eyed. He lost his eye? I mean, what do you mean? Yeah. It doesn't make sense. And someone else said, no, it means seeing with single vision. You know, being able to see God just with
focus.
Yes. Yeah, focus vision. And Prabhupada said, yes, that's what it is. That's what it is.
Yes.
And he said, just like if you have a friend, a very good friend, and you see their son, you think, oh, you know, this reminds me of my friend, and, you know, I really, it's so special. You're so special because you remind me of my friend. And the saintly person, like when he sees a tree, he'll think, oh, this is Krishna's, you know, or he sees a flower, oh, this is Krishna's. He sees everything as belonging to Krishna. So.
Thank you. Wonderful. We have to maintain our full focus and concentration the whole day. I mean, it's not that we are out of jobs. Many devotees, you know, who live especially in Mayapur, you know, it's very hard. They have service and everything, but they don't have like job, you know, karmic job, factory or whatever. But actually, we need to be more focused and more concentrated even from those who take some jobs outside seriously. Because we have job whole day, even whole night, you know. And if you're not focused, then it's immediately we just go in the lower modes of nature. So the point is that Vishnujan Maharaj, I heard one interesting point about him, that he never didn't said just occasionally like love for Krishna. Every time when he mentioned love for Krishna, he said, love for Krishna. He was always trying to remind himself about trying to develop that love for the Lord. So it's amazing. We need to find those kind of, you know, supports in our life, in our everyday life that can put us back on the track again and again and again. You know, that's a very important thing to do. It's part of the practice, basically. You know, it's a part of practice. If we, you know, trying to chant without offenses, we should not do offenses the whole day. Not just during chanting. Okay, now 2 hours is finished. I finish my rounds. Okay, who is the bad guy here? No, that's not the process. That's not the thing. It's wrong. We have to try to maintain that level whole day. We have tried not to do that. And then our chanting is going to become successful. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hari. Yes, I'm